Next case is 97-23-29, Developers Diversified Limited versus the Board of Revision of Cuyahoga County. Mr. Hunter.
Your Honor, I would request 3 minutes of my time. Your Honor, I represent the North Homestead Board of Education. The issue in this case involves the question whether a 1990 tax year real estate valuation complaint was properly before the Board of Revision. This complaint involved a parcel of property on which was located a single planned unit development. Previous to the 1990 tax year complaint, the complaint was filed for a portion of the property contained in this planned unit development in the 1998 tax year. As a result of that, the Board of Tax Appeals held that it could not revalue the property that was also the subject of the 1998 tax year, although it proceeded and revalued the remaining property in this land unit development. It was the position of the Board of Education that the Board of Tax Appeals erred in two respects. The Board of Tax Appeals relied on 57-15-19 and holding that this was a second filing in regards to the property that had been the subject of the 1998 tax. It is our position that this was an error for two reasons. First, 57-15-19 applies only if there's a second filing on the same parcel of property. It is the position of the Board of Education that the 1990 tax year filing was on a different parcel of property. Second is the position of the Board of Tax Appeals. Even if this court were to conclude and agree with the Board of Tax Appeals that in part the 1995 was on the same parcel of property, then there has been substantial improvement to the property, which qualifies as one of the exceptions under 57-15-19 to allow the second filing. In regards to the position of the Board of Education that this is not filing on same parcel of property, I refer this court to the case of Parkridge County versus Franklin County, Parkridge County versus Franklin County Board of Education, in which this court held that for real estate tax valuation purposes, a parcel of property is not confined to the arbitrary boundaries assigned by a county auditor in assigning permanent parcel numbers. But what Board of Revision, Board of Tax Appeals, and taxing authorities can still do in determining if a parcel of property exists is the area of land that is owned by the same owner and is used for the same economic use. Applying this test to the property at issue here shows that we are not dealing with the same parcel of property in each of the tax years. The parcel of property involved in the 1990 tax year was different in ownership from the 1998 tax year, and it was different in size and economic use.
So let me jump ahead here. Does the ultimate determination here depend upon our application of the term substantial improvement?
That would be one of the alternatives for reversing the case. The other alternative would be to find that these are two different parcels and therefore 57-15-19 is not even coming into play.
Okay, so you see those are two separate issues.
Two separate issues.
Suppose you had a piece of property where the traffic engineer of the municipality decided that they were going to do a comprehensive traffic study, as we often did in various neighborhoods at neighbors' requests. And you found that when you had filed your application here before, that traffic going in front of this piece of property was 10,000 cars a day. Now, within the year, you do a traffic survey and suddenly find that it is now 35,000 cars a day. Therefore, the property is much more valuable for a commercial Dairy Queen because there's more traffic. Therefore, could you file another reassessment?
No, Your Honor, I would not.
That's not a substantial improvement.
That's not an improvement.
Then how is a rezoning a substantial improvement?
Your Honor, in this particular case, there were several factors that came into play in the improvement. If you look at the dictionary definition of improvement, it means some enhancement to utility or value to the property. In this particular case...
More traffic going by.
Okay, that, there's something different in this case, Your Honor. This is something the property owner himself did to the property to change it and to make it more valuable and to improve it. The visual aid that I handed out is a reprint from our reply page and shows that the entire parcel here is the 1990 tax year filing. In 1998, the filing only involved the non-colored section. So you can see, in 1990, there was some substantial property added to this property, to this parcel, between the 1988 and 1990 years. What happened after 1998 is the property owner bought parcel 1110 here and added that to the property. Reconfigured this whole, he then joined all of these parcels, added all of these parcels together, submitted and obtained from the city a planned unit development. This wasn't strictly a rezoning. He actually litigated this, entered into his rejudgment entry with the city, which allowed this property, previous to this agreement, this property could only be developed for single-family residential use.
Okay, now let's stop there. Let's stop there for a minute because I didn't understand that from your brief. You've got the various types of property here, the various locations. Whenever we took separate parcels, what we would do is combine them on the tax duplicate, go to the real estate transfer office, and combine them all and file a new parcel. Was that done here, or are they separate parcels still for tax purposes?
For county audit permanent parcel, some of the parcels that were in existence in 1980 mm-hmm. have gone out of existence, the boundary lines have been changed, so the parcel numbers that existed in 88 still exist in 1990. The boundary lines are not identical.
So it is not the same piece of property?
That is one of my conditions.
All right.
It is a different parcel of property because the boundaries have been changed, additional property has been added, and the property owner obtained new uses for the property. There's a new economic use under the Park Ridge case.
But you're trying to assess what you've already done, mm-hmm. filed your application within the previous year of the old property, aren't you?
I'm trying to get a new value on a portion of the old property.
That you've already done within the prescribed period of time.
Yes, in 1998, because it has changed. It is a new parcel, the Park Ridge case. There is new ownership because new land has been added to it. And it has new economic uses. Previously, it was only single-family residential. Now it's hotel, office, and multifamily.
Has new land been added to it on the tax duplicate?
Yes.
Have you combined the parcels so that now you have, let's assume there were five parcels. You reassessed one or you valued one. Now you add the four. Did the four merge into the one so that if I went to the real estate transfer office at the auditor's office and looked up this parcel, would I find one parcel or six?
This parcel would consist of seven parcel numbers.
That's it.
This court in the Park Ridge case says you don't look at the audit parcel numbers. You look at the ownership of the parcel and its economic uses. And in 1998, the owner in 1998 did not own this parcel. And after that time, he acquired this parcel, combined it with this parcel and the parcels that were subject to the 1998. Got a new economic use for it by cutting out these parcels A, B, and C and getting additional uses for it.
Let me add another very, say you have eight parcels, and it's zone residential, nothing else but zone residential, right next to a shopping mall goes up. They now want your piece of property, you go back and get it rezoned commercial, but you don't change the boundary, you don't change the size. Is that a potential improvement?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. Because the word improvement in the statute says you have substantial improvement. The word improvement, the ordinary dictionary definition of the word improvement is betterment or enhancement of the value of the property.
I really don't care whether the property value is changed. You're simply arguing rezoning that it increases commercial value.
That is correct. First one being the separate parcel.
The first one being the substantial improvement in the rezoning.
If you decide the substantial improvement is a rezoning, that is correct.
I guess, Mr. Conjure, I guess I'm wondering why, since the word improvement in real estate is somewhat of a technical term, why we wouldn't assume that the General Assembly had intended to include a change in economic value as one of the exceptions for when you can have a second appraisal. Why wouldn't the General Assembly have written the statute that way? I mean, improvement seems to be all the other sections of the FTE indicates that sections of code seem to indicate that improvement means a structure or something physical, some physical change in the property, not economic value. I guess I'm wondering, again, why wouldn't, if the General Assembly meant to include economic value, that's a whole different concept to read into improvement.
Your Honor, I beg to differ with you that improvement is a technical term requiring physical change. If you look at 57.102, the General Assembly defines terms for purposes of Title 57. It defines realty and it defines improvement. And in defining improvement, it says improvement, I don't recall the exact word, improvement in conjunction with building or structure means this. Which identification means they are recognizing that there can be an improvement that is not a physical building or structure.
You argue that. I'm not following your argument on that. It seems to me they're saying when you have a physical structure that an improvement to that means this, and to say that therefore improvement means something much broader, that because they wouldn't have had to say that. I'm having trouble following.
If you limit the word improvement, it means improvement when used with a building structure means this. You're saying that improvement can mean something else also, but you wouldn't have that limitation. Additionally, there are some other cases that I cited, some older Ohio cases, that recognize that although a building structure, a fixture is always an improvement, there can be improvements that are not building structures and fixtures. In the cases that I cited, Michigan and older Ohio case here in Ohio. Not directly on point of decision because it was decided much before the statute or down in the state. It recognizes that improvement is not necessarily a physical structure. And I believe my time has expired in the total time. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Conjure. Ms. Johnson.
It is in reader, so I should have before the full court. On behalf of Developers Diversified, I represent Developers Diversified, as well as some other entities. So there is that commonality of ownership that opposing counsel talked about here this morning. And I think the thrust of this case is to look at the statute as written. And the statute starts out 5715-19A2. No person or board shall file a complaint against any parcel that appears on the tax list. It doesn't, and my opposing counsel tries to translate that word parcel as appears on the tax list to mean economic unit. That's not what the statute speaks of. It talks about parcels as listed on the tax deed.
What about the Park Ridge case, Ms. Johnson? Do you distinguish that?
I think it's distinguishable because Park Ridge was talking about economic unit for tax purposes and valuation purposes. Here, there is a prohibition against filing a second complaint on parcels, and that's the way the complaints were filed. In fact, there were 7 complaints filed in this case, not just one. And they were filed on each individual parcel. So, and now...
In Park Ridge.
Yes. At the time, my client was litigating the zoning of this property. The school board and the city filed a complaint before the actual change in uses to have the value increased. And at the time the complaint was filed with the Common Pleas Court for rezoning, the 1988 complaint, the first complaint in the triennium, was filed. By the time that was litigated at the Board of Revision, the zoning issue was resolved. So the Board of Revision actually heard evidence about the change in zoning, decided not to use it to revalue the property, but could have used that information to revalue the property. And that's another section of 5715.19a2, which says that no person shall file a second complaint if the circumstance took place after tax lien date but was not considered by the Board of Revision. Here, the rezoning took place after tax lien date, was considered by the Board of Revision, and pursuant to 5715.19d, which is a carryover provision of the same statute, the Board of Revision could have determined separate values for 88, 89, and 90, but did not do so.
Were they requested to do so?
By the taxpayer? I don't know the answer to that. The minutes that I've seen from the Board of Revision don't indicate I did not participate in those Board of Revision proceedings, so I have no knowledge of that. Getting back to what I think is the thrust of the case is whether it was alleged in the complaint itself, pursuant to this court's decisions in Gamarino and Mellon Bank, that a second complaint, the complaint must allege the reason for filing the second complaint. And in this case, on the complaint in answer to number question 8, which is the reason for the increase, they said substantial improvement due to rezoning of the property. The statute provides an exception for substantial improvement was added to the property. But I think if you look at the entire statute, you'll see there are 4 reasons and only 4 reasons. And the last reason, I think this court has to look at and says an increase or a decrease in occupancy of 15% that has had an economic impact on the property. Here, I think when you look at that, you can say to yourself, the legislature thought about things having economic impact on the property, limited it to just a change in occupancy of at least 15%. Other things may have economic impact, as Justice Douglas indicated, a change in traffic patterns, a change in tax law. Many things have economic impacts on property that improve its value, but that's not an improvement added to the property in the context of that statute.
Council, this has had to do with added information that I was interested in how these things play out over time. What's out there today on this property?
Okay, out there today on a portion of the property is a corporate headquarters for Moment, which has received tax abatements to be there.
So there is no planned unit development residential as the zoning.
A portion of the property has been developed also, which I don't think is subject to the prohibition. Been developed into apartment complex.
Okay, what I'm asking you, in the real world, there was the zoning took place, the other side wants to raise the taxes based on that zoning, what ultimately played out? Was construction ultimately undertaken consistent with that zoning, or was there later rezoning and real economic value of this property that means something else altogether?
For the most part, the zoning as litigated has come into existence. I don't think there are any hotels built out there, but there is apartments and an office.
Something consistent with the zoning
people and working people as well as insurance companies and corporations.
Is what ultimately what?
Ultimately, yes, there has been development of property according to the change of uses that were permitted after the litigation.
But if is there something that's not consistent as well? The real world's played out.
I don't think there's any single family housing out there, so not to my knowledge. I live here in Columbus and I don't view this property on a daily basis. I think this court, in numerous recent cases, has examined legislative intent, and I think if they do so in this manner, they will see that the legislature intended to limit the number of filings within an interim period and found only four necessary circumstances that should be considered, and none of which a change in zoning or a change in into a planned unit development. None of these changes were envisioned as authorizing the filing of the second complaint. I also truly believe that when the 1988 decision was decided in 1990, that was an appealable decision and they could have raised the issue at another time and prevented duplicate litigation, which is the whole purpose of the statute that we're reviewing today. I also must add, if you look at dictionary definitions, the word added means to annex, attach, join together, and you have to look at the whole phrase, substantial improvement was added to the property. And in context of 57.13.01 and 57.13.03, the legislature used the term improvement repeatedly, and in 57.13.01 talks about viewing the improvement, actually viewing and inspecting the improvement, and that shows an indication that they meant something that you can see and touch and feel that adds value to the property, and it has to be something physical. With that, if there are no further questions, I will close my argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Mr. Conjure, you've saved 2 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, in addressing the technical definition of improvement, if you refer to Black's Law Dictionary, it talks about improvement to realty as including an amelioration in its condition to enhance its value, beauty, or utility. This would be consistent with what occurred in this case. There was a condition of the property restricted to single-family residential development. There was an amelioration of this condition. The property owner said, this property cannot be developed economically this way. The property owner expended time and labor and money changing that, it was changed to a planned unit development, increasing the value of the property, allowing multifamily residential, which has developed on the property, there's luxury apartments on the property right now, office space, which has developed, Moen World headquarters is now there, and this will
all be taken into consideration in the next triennium. We're only talking about being precluded from tax changes in this interim period, right? I mean, all these things, the next time this gets reviewed, yeah.
But in this year, it would be unfair to allow this, it would be unfair to the other taxpayer to allow this exceedingly valuable property that is now worth close to $4 million to be taxed at $1 million or less.
Well, Congress, Not so your, this whole baggage stuff is relative thing. Changes the zoning, you can't immediately grow office buildings, hotels, luxury apartments. So until you get those up like rent, owning the property is just something that you pay taxes and interest on the cost of those things. So.
No, Your Honor, changing zoning will immediately increase the value and will increase the marketability of that property to developers. The developer of the hotel will not consider the property something that can be potential. Chairman, may I briefly conclude?
Very briefly.
In summary, I think 57-15-19 was enacted to avoid multiple filings when there's just been a general economic change in conditions, like an increase in the market and inflation. But when there's a specific objective change to the property, then it will allow it to the second filing. That's occurred here. That's an objective change to this property, and the property owner will be done.
Thank you, Mr. Counselor. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.